السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Before we move forward, let's talk about what we mentioned last time. Some more matters related to Adhan. We discussed that once the Adhan is called in the Masjid, person should not leave that Masjid. It becomes the right of that Masjid that we stay there and pray the salat, unless it's an emergency. In some exceptional cases, the person is an imam of another masjid, is a muazzin of another masjid, or there's a life and death emergency where he has to get out. But in regular cases, Rasulullah ﷺ would warn against this and said that لا يخرج من المسجد بعد النداء إلا منافق. A person doesn't leave the masjid after adhan except for one who is an hypocrite. What are some instructions related to pronunciation of adhan? We did this as well. I'll quickly go through them. That one, it has to be done in Arabic. And when we say ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna muhammadar rasulullah, so we read two fatha on the dal. One should not extend the letter ba. Allahu akbar. That's incorrect. Okay, this is also should be avoided. And some scholars went to a lot more stern warnings for that. But we have to try our best not to extend these letters. If we have to, then the letter lam. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu hayya ala salah. So the lam, that's called madd ta'zimi. It's an honorable type of mad. This is to increase the beauty of the adhan and it does not destroy the meaning. To say each of the takbirs in a separate breath, it should not be done this way, but two takbirs in one breath. Okay, how should one respond to the adhan? We talked about this and the dua was recited as well. While in some situations we should not respond to the adhan, if we're praying salat, if the khutbah is going on, and listening to the khutbah, teaching of ilm and learning of ilm at that time as well, it's not necessary to give jawab to the adhan. While eating as well, if the adhan is called, it's not necessary to give jawab to the adhan. While one is involved in intercourse, we obviously know that is impurity. While relieving oneself, same reasons, in the bathroom, one should not give jawab to the adhan. Is it allowed to talk during adhan? It's very disrespectful. And Rasulullah had given another warning that close to Qiyamah, people will be talking about worldly affairs in the masjid. And their whole idea for getting together will be the gossips and different discussions related to the dunya. So Rasulullah ﷺ had instructed that do not sit with such individuals, and Allah has no need for such people. So that's a very stern warning. And we also talked about the benefit of the dua. So Rasulullah ﷺ has said, one who recites the dua of adhan after the adhan, halat lahu shafa'ati, then it will become necessary for that person to receive my shafa'ah on the day of judgment. It's sunnah to say the adhan for the newborn. We also talked about this, that how to do is a sunnah, that once a child is born, we try our best to make the first words that go into the ears, that they are the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a da'wah towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anything related to adhan before we go into iqamat? Cheek, inshallah. So number one point for today, what does iqama mean? Iqama means to establish. We use this in Urdu as well. Kisi cheez ko iqamat karna, kisi cheez ko khada karna, something which is sitting to make it stand. So in our terms for salat, it is for the iqamat of the salat. It's an announcement that now salat is actually being established. So that's why it says that it is the announcement made to inform the establishment of the jama'ah prayer. So it is very important that we must understand the purpose of this announcement is for the musallis, right? So that's why the sound should be aimed at so all the people in the masjid can hear that now we get together and form our lines. Who should call the iqama? The one who has called the adhan will have the preferred right to call the iqama. Now this is something to understand. Both cases can come up. If a person calls the iqamat, will it happen or not? So yes, the iqamat will be valid. We don't have to repeat it. But what's the preferred person? Who is the preferred person? The one who called the adhan. Okay. And this it's in every case. Even if there was an appointed muazzin and he was absent, and that day somebody else called the adhan, so that person will now call the iqamat. That other substitute will call the iqamat. And this had happened numerous times. When Bilal radiallahu anhu would be late, some other Sahabi would call the azan. So one narration says that Haris Sada'i radiallahu anhu called azan once in the absence of Bilal radiallahu anhu. So then when Bilal radiallahu anhu came back, he assumed that he is going to be giving the iqamat. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that your brother from the Sada'i tribe has already given the azan. Man azana fahuwa yuqim. And a person who gives the azan, he should be the one giving the iqamat. So the preferred person should be that same person who gave the azan, wohi shakhs ho jo iqamat bhi de. Now, in some cases, can it be that another person gives it? Yes, it's allowed. But this is something related to more of ma'ashirat and akhlaq. Because somebody who gives azan is usually punctual, he comes in early, right? He's being regular. So that honor, that right gives goes to him first, that since he did the azan, now he should do the iqamat. But if he is not going to be there at the time of iqamah, or his voice isn't loud enough, so he can give it to someone else. Similar cases that if somebody else has called it, then it will still be a valid iqamah. It's just that we are not allowed to hurt someone's feeling, because the person who has been working on that punctual schedule, he already is assuming that he's going to be calling the iqamah. So when Abdullah bin Zayd radiallahu anhu, the one we already discussed, the one who brought up, who saw the dream about the azan, so when he was told to tell the words to Bilal radiallahu anhu, so he requested, Ya Rasulullah, I also want to be a part of the azan in some way. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at times would allow this, that azan called by Bilal radiallahu anhu and iqamat called by Abdullah bin Zayd radiallahu anhu. So if it's done in that way with the permission of the muazzin, so this way, the illah, the reason of why it was not being allowed is removed, because the person himself is saying you can do it. Us shakhs ki ya to ijazat se kar le ya wo ghair maujood hai to phir koi aur de de. Okay, so this is more of something that is related to being nice to somebody and respecting the idea that they gave the azan, so they should be given the first right. So number three, when should the iqama be called? When the imam is approaching the musalla, once the imam is close or he is already on the musalla, that's the time of iqama. Now, sometimes the imam comes from the back, and some masajid the imam comes from the front. There's the door right by the mihrab area, and he comes in, and that's sometimes it's easier for an imam to come in last minute or if he has to leave. So in both cases, it's up to the presence of the imam where the iqama should be called. Okay. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right when he would step out of the hujra, then everyone would stand up and then iqamat would start. Okay, so for iqamat, that should be one of the things that imam is either already on the musalla or he's closely approaching it. That's when iqamat should take place, because there should not be a big gap between the iqamat and the salat in the beginning of the salat. So if the imam is not there and iqamat is called, and then somebody says imam sahab is still making wudu, or he's not available, we have to pick somebody else. So now there's going to be a big discussion, a big wait time between the iqamat and the beginning of the salat. So that fasal, that gap should not be there. So right when the iqamat is done, then the imam sahab should start the prayer. That's why it will depend on the coming of the imam, that right when he's about there. And the most preferred view in this is the imam is on the musalla, then the iqamat. That's the best way of handling this. Now there's a side masla that is related with this, that is of the musallis, when they should stand up. And this problem happens in many, many masjids, that different people stand up at different times. Somebody is standing up at hayyala salah, somebody is standing up in qadqamati salah, and some are even standing before the iqamat, right? So it is important for us to know when is the established time through the sunnah of Rasulullah for standing. So we understand from the same hadith of Abu Dawud that when Rasulullah would come out of his hujra, so فَلَا تَقُومُ حَتَّى تَرَوْنِي, Rasulullah would say that don't call iqamat until you have seen me. So right when he would come out, that's when they would stand and do the iqamat. So they were not waiting for particular words like حَيَا لَصَلَاةِ. And some people do, they stand up till قَدْ قَامَتِ الصَّلَاةِ, they stand up. And overseas in Pakistan, India, there are masajid where even the imam does this, that he will come in and it's almost time for iqamah, that he will sit first and wait for the qad qamati salah and then stand up. So this is more of a ritualistic amal that is taking place, because the person feels like, oh, now the word salat or the calling towards salat has taken place, now I should answer to it. But that's incorrect. There is no basis of that. So we should try our best to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ and his Sahaba, radiyallahu anhu ajma'in, that when Rasulullah ﷺ was seen and he's coming, then that's when they would have stood up. Now, what if the imam comes from the backside? So scholars have said that every saf that he passes by, that saf to start standing up. Okay, and if people wait till Hayyal al-Salah to stand up or up to Qad Qamat al-Salah to stand up, the emphasis that has been laid on fixing the lines, that time will not be given to those. If everyone's getting up so late and the imam starts the Salah right after Iqamat, then to have enough time to make the line straight will not be there. That's why it's said to stand up right with the Iqamat, and the Iqamat will take place when imam is approaching. So right when the imam is approaching, then people are standing up as well. So they will have enough time. By the end of the iqamah, they will have fixed tasviyah to sufu. That's why this both of these ahadith have to be balanced out. That yes, we have to stand up for the iqamah, and we have to have time for making lines as well. That's why it's encouraged that right when the iqamah of the salah is taking place, that people should stand up. And if they need to know exactly when to, then as the imam approaches, then with every saf, then people should stand up. Or if he's coming from the front, right when people see him, then they should stand up and start making their lines. So time of iqamat, how do we set the time? Let's say azan is usually right when the time enters or close to that. It's an estimate time. Okay, so how do we set the iqamat time? So this is also in the instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to make your azan and iqamat, make the iqamat after azan in such amount of time that if somebody is eating, they can finish their eating. If someone is drinking, they can finish their drinking. If somebody is in qaza-i hajat, they're fulfilling their needs, they can fulfill those needs and come. So from that hadith, this has been taken, the 15-20 minute gap that we see in masajid. It's up to basically the jama'ah, the people of the masjid. If they like, they can even increase that. Within the time of the salat, if we say that azan is done at 7, so people can, everyone can be here by 7:15, then it's allowed to do it at 7:15. But it will be looked at when people can easily finish off their necessities. Majority of the people, of course, it's not going to be for every single person, but majority, if they are in some kind of temporary amal, 15-20 minutes, they can prepare and come. But as far as Maghrib is concerned, so there's narration there that Rasulullah ﷺ would do iqamah immediately, right? So that's why in that case, or zada sahab us waqt hota hai maghrib mein ki foran maghrib padi jaye. As far as fajr, you notice that adhan and iqamah, there's a bigger gap. So why is that? The reason is that the necessity is more. People need more time to get up and to make wudu, and some might have to take a shower. So that is a time of sleep. That is a time of freshening up. So there's a little bit more gap preparing for the salat. So you'll find that in masjids there will be a gap of 30 minutes. Right? So that's why that's the hadith that is taken from, that enough that people can fulfill their necessities and easily make it for the iqamah of the salat. Where should one stand while calling the iqamah? There's no particular place designated. Now a question will arise that why is it that all in our masjid, the muazzin is always right behind the imam? So there's other reasons for that. One is that if the mic doesn't work, the iqamat will take place in the middle of the masjid, so it's the sound is equally distributed to the people in the back or whatever area they're sitting inside the masjid. The other reason is that usually the muazzin becomes the naib. He becomes the replacement of the imam in case the imam's wudu breaks, right? If there's an emergency, something happened. So imam has to leave the prayer. So who does he reach out to first? The person right behind him should be well prepared to take on the salah to the end. So usually that's why you'll notice in our masajid, the person right behind is the muazzin. So these are the reasons. But is it necessary for the common person or the muazzin to stand there? No, it's not. So some places in ishtamas, in bigger places, the muazzin stands, I remember in Raven, he stands all the way in the middle so that the voice goes for the people up front and it goes in the people in the back. So there is no particular, there is only one instruction where scholars have said about iqamah, that azan should be given on a higher level and iqamah should be given on the floor. Okay, and that's the same logic applies there, that so the azan goes for people who are outsiders and iqamah is within the masjid and for the people of the masjid. Is it sunnah to turn the face while saying the hayya ala tain in iqamah? No, it's not sunnah to turn the face in iqamah. One may do so if the place is vast. So when we turn our faces in Adhan, the scholars have said the reason is that it's for outsiders, right? The right way of doing Adhan is to reach the people outside that they can come for the prayer. So right side people, left side people will be covered. But in Iqamat, it's not really enough time to call right and left. So the correct way is to say it all together and very quickly. And enough people, everyone will know, because it's a quick announcement that now what you are waiting for, it's ready. Okay, so it's not too much time should be involved there. So some scholars have argued over then. They said, yes, you should still have the iltifat of wajh to change the face here and there. And they have said because people might be sitting on the right and on the left. So how do we balance out this opinion? Then it will be dependent on the place itself, that there's no mic. Okay, and the masjid is very big. And so if the muezzin just faces one side, it's possible the people on the other side didn't hear him. So in those cases, yes, it's right. The muezzin should turn his face in the iqamat as well. But we have mics now. So in mics, that illat is also removed. So if he says it straightforward, all the words on the mic, then inshallah, every place in the masjid will get the sound and an announcement that the salat is about to begin. Should iqamah be called for a second jama'at? So as far as we've discussed this masla, that in the Hanafi fiqh, to have a second jama'at within the same area of the masjid, it's not allowed. And they have discouraged this many, many times from different angles. So if it does happen, how should it be done? Then in the other area of the masjid, usually in masajid, there's areas before where the wudu comes in, or the other side which is not designated part of the masjid, then the jama'at should be done there. And over there, the iqamat will also be called. So for our masjid, no, then we should go on that side. If we come in late and we have enough brothers, we go on that side, we go in the room. So over there, iqamat will be called and the second jama'at. But to come over here and to do it here again, this is against the Hanafi fiqh, especially very strict on this matter, that the second jama'at should not take place. That is makruh tahrimi, they have said, because it destroys the value of the first jama'at. Yes. So if the jama'at has to take place within the masjid, we should try to go upstairs, downstairs, try to avoid the main hall as much as possible. So we'll look at the option at that time, and then yes, iqamat will be done. Okay, so people should understand that this is not the regular jama'at. Yes, you were saying? Yes. Yes. There's sunnah. Okay. When we join someone, in case of somebody who's praying sunnah, we cannot join them. If the imam is sunnah and the muqtadi is faraz, it doesn't work that way. But the other way would work. The other way. That means if the imam is faraz and somebody stands behind him with the niyat of sunnah, that way would work. So if, let's say this happens, that somebody comes in and they are praying, another person is praying sunnah, so we cannot just join them. That's why it's good to avoid that. If we don't know what this person is praying, it's good to avoid the jama'at in that case. Or we wait for somebody else who is coming in. We ask them that, have you prayed Isha or not? Say no, then make the jama'at separately. So in places where there are airport masajid and where people are constantly moving, this happens a lot. So our scholars have always discouraged this, because it could be that the imam becomes in a lower position than the muqtadi. If he is doing sunnah and the muqtadi is doing farz. So if you notice that in all of our cases of jama'at, the muqtadi is tabi' of the imam. He is obedient in all ways to the imam. So if the imam is in a lower case and the muqtadi is in a higher position, then that way it would not work. So if we know somebody is praying sunnah, we cannot join with them. But if they are praying farz, then we can join with them. And even if they're praying farz and we want to pray sunnah behind them, then sunnah and nafil prayer can also take place. But the time should not be of a makruh time, where nawafil are considered to be makruh, like after asr or after fajr time. So, okay, how should the iqamah be called? The wordings of iqamah are the same as adhan, except after hayya alatain. Hayya alatain mean hayya al-salah and hayya al-falah. That's the term used. After the hayya al-salah, then qad qamati salah should be said twice. The wordings of Iqama will be said hastily. That means this is the sunnah for the Iqama, that it has to be said very, very quickly. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has instructed Bilal radiallahu anhu, Ya Bilal, إذا أذنت فترسل في أذانك. When you say adhan, then say it slowly. Stretch out the words and take your time in the adhan. وَإِذَا أَقَمْتَ فَحْدُرْ. When you are in doing the iqamat mode, when you are in the position of doing iqamat, then do it very, very quickly. So if we find somebody who's doing iqamat very long and they're trying to fix their voice, then we should explain to them, or the imam should explain, that the sunnat in the iqamat is to say it very, very fast. And one of the things, that's the next point of this, which haraka should be recited on the end of qad qamati salat. Now this you'll find in different masjids. Some say qad qamati salatu qad qamati salat. Some say qad qamati salati qad qamati. So that last letter, the ta, they read different harakas on it, and some leave it as a jazm. So the mustahab position, that where we have a hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, al adanu jazmun, wal iqamatu jazmun, wal takbiru jazmun. Okay, so in these positions, you'll notice that in our azan, iqamat, and in the takbir, Allahu Akbar, we leave the last letter as a sukoon. Usko sakin padhna hai. Okay, so this is the best way of doing it. Now, if a question arises that in Arabic grammar, what will be the haraka that comes on to the ta? So the correct haraka that comes on the ta is a dhamma, it's a pesh. Qad qamat is salah. So that qamat is fail, and as salah is the fa'il of that fail. So in grammar, we find that fa'il is always with a dhamma. That's why if somebody read it, qad qamati salatu qad qamati salat, that will also be considered to be correct, but not sunnah, because the sunnah is to make it a jazm there. Qad qamati salat, qad qamati salat. So usko sakin padhna hai, uske akhir jo harf hai. Now, qad qamati salati, that's wrong. Okay, that's what it would be wrong. Yes, that in the azan you're saying, or in iqamat? In both, it is against the sunnah to connect the two words. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. In Arabic grammar, yes, the Akbaru is there for the Dhamma, but to connect the two and read it, it will be against the procedure given to us by Rasulullah. So it is important for us to keep it in that track. But if somebody says, did it happen or not, then these are not points where a person will be said, oh, you messed up, do it all over again. Okay, if somebody messed up in the iqamat with these type of mistakes, then they will continue. We will not say that you have to do it all over again. But for those who do get the chance of doing adhan iqamat, we should know the correct way according to the sunnah. So there is a reply to that as well. When qad qamati salah is said, then the people should say what? Zahul wala qadaito hayala salah ke baad. Ji, aqamaha Allahu wa adamaha ma damati samawatu wal ard. Allah Ta'ala isko qaim rakhe, aur hamesha qaim aur daim rakhe jab tak zameen aasman baaki. So that's a dua too. We should learn that when qad qamati salah, muazzin is saying, we should say aqamaha Allahu wa adamaha. May Allah keep it established. May Allah keep it going forever until the heavens and the earth remain as well. So that's also something that we should put into practice. So adhan ki dua, how to reply to adhan. This is not just for ulama and those people who are, you know, attached to the masjid. This is for all Muslims in general, right? We want the shafa, Rasulullah. We want to make every good deed count correctly. So we should try and memorize these dua. They're very small. You notice they rhyme and they have this kind of hikmah that they are very easily memorized. If a mistake is made, should the iqam be repeated? Like I just said, if mistakes are made, then that mistake should be fixed. Somebody read the iqamah, they left that one word out, so they should read that one word and finish the iqamah. It won't be said that do it again. Okay? So, no need to repeat the iqamah. When does the iqamah become makruh? In the state of impurity. Okay? Now, we understand at that point the salat is about to begin. Or, ye hazrat khade mein baghair wudu ke, right? Or he's standing there in a position that he has to make ghusl, right? So, it's disrespectful for the salat, disrespectful for the symbol. That he's standing, he's giving da'wah to everyone else, but he's not following it himself. So that's why scholars have said it's disliked to do so. And if it's major impurity, that iqamat will have to be repeated. In adhan, if you remember that in adhan, somebody calls the adhan without wudu, it's not considered to be makruh. It's a bad habit. If it happens once in a while, that person will be told, ke dubara aisa mat kare, iski aadat na bana. Like iqamat mein, it is makruh, because what's going to happen now? He's putting himself in a position where he has to go and make wudu, and it's certain that he's going to miss the takbir ula, and he's going to miss maybe maybe the first rakat as well. And if it's in a state of ghusl, then he's going to miss the salat, the whole salat. So he's putting himself in the position where he's disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So because of all of these reasons, that one should be pure and prepared to call the iqamah, inshallah. Yes, any clarification needed, inshallah? Ji. Ji. Yeah.